Well, Dr. Firestone, we know that there are just so many ways to give, and there's so much that we can give. We can give money. We can give compliments. We can give love. We can give our bodies. And I tell you, for a person sometimes to give the body, that can be, I mean, almost for some people, the height of what they have to offer. But that said, I'd like to ask you, if there, you know, especially with regards to the sense of experiencing fulfillment as a result of giving, is there any difference in giving love, as you described it, and giving our bodies?
Yeah, there is a big difference. I mean, giving our bodies can be one part of giving our love, but if we are not actually also engaging in other behaviors that are loving toward the person, we're probably not giving love. People can give their bodies without really being present or in their bodies at the moment. They can do it because they think they need to get the other person's attention or to try to get them to love them. And especially when people have that kind of anxious or preoccupied attachment, they can do that quite quickly before they really even know the person very well, because they feel like they've got to give everything to get this person to like them. And when they do that, they don't really feel loved. And in a way, they're not really giving love. They don't even necessarily know the person. Because to love somebody, you actually have to know them. And real love involves things like, you know, caring about the other person's individuality, what lights them up, doing things not only because they're fun for us, but because they're fun for the other person or meaningful to them. It means, you know, really being present for them at hard times and caring about how they feel. And these, you know, when you really tune into somebody like that, you actually really feel good yourself, but you feel fulfilled from giving to them. And that's very different than giving your body. Now, that obviously might be a piece of a romantic relationship where you're close, but, you know, good idea to get to know the person and make sure this is a person that you really feel that toward, because just giving your body won't necessarily leave either person with a satisfying experience or feeling close emotionally.
Well, it's amazing how we can kind of shoot ourselves in the foot by doing the wrong thing in order to get what we're trying to receive. And that's one of the things that I hear you saying, that these relationships really are about giving and receiving.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of research showing that people feel more satisfied when it's an egalitarian relationship, meaning there's give and take both ways, because it turns out if it's very lopsided and one person is getting a lot more than they're giving in a relationship, neither person feels satisfied. So you would think the person who's getting a lot would feel satisfied, but they don't. You know, they really don't. It doesn't feel good to just be receiving. They're not getting any of those good feelings themselves. Now, the trick is that we often, because of our childhood, learned one adaptation or the other, giving or receiving. And sometimes we're much better at doing one than the other. So we create relationships where we're doing all the giving, maybe, or we're doing all the receiving, and, you know, we're back in our childhoods, but we're not happy, and the other person's not happy. What we really have to learn to do is that give and take, where we can take in things that our partner says, so not fluffing off every compliment they give us, but also not expecting our partner to know we think they look attractive even when we don't say anything over and over and over again, right, and never acknowledge that they actually are looking good, you know. People want that, you know. That does affect their feelings about themselves and their self-esteem. So it's acknowledging that, you know, where there's a give and take, where we both accept generosity directed toward us and we give generosity outwardly. And generosity really involves knowing the other person, because if you just give what you want to give when you want to give it, whether that's money or attention or sex or whatever it is, that's not very satisfying to your partner. What's satisfying to your partner, makes them feel good, is when you're willing to give what they want in the moment in the way that they'd like to receive it. So a lot of people try to give love the way that they would feel loved, but that may have nothing to do with how their partner experiences love. It's really important, if we want to have good relationships, to really try to learn our partner and what makes them feel loved and what is their timing of when they want to receive. So if you think of somebody who always wants to give you a hug when you walk in the door, but what you really want is to snuggle with them on the couch later, you know, you could feel really frustrated, and they could feel really frustrated because they're trying to offer you this love and you're not taking it in. Well, it's not coming across in the way you would really feel loved. So, you know, it's complicated. It, you know, really involves doing something different that may be a little outside your comfort zone, but giving what the person wants and what would make them feel good and meet their needs in the moments when it would and in the way that they could take it in.
So it sounds like one of the things that they need to be doing is taking the guesswork out of the relationship equation by talking with each other and valuing what each other has to say about it enough that they put into play what each says they want.
Absolutely. And slowing down enough to learn your partner so you really know what those things are. Because there's some things they can verbalize, you know, if you ask your partner. But a lot of things, you know, you can sort of learn just by, you know, it's like learning how they like their coffee, you know, or, you know, small little things and being willing to bring them a cup of coffee in the morning or that cup of tea, you know. I had a couple, and all he wanted was her to bring him a cup of tea in the morning. And it was interesting, very hard for her to do and very hard for him to accept. He always could find something wrong with how she made the tea, you know, and, you know, you do that enough and your partner's going to stop bringing you the tea. He's going to be like, I've had enough of this, you know.
And so, you know, and some of it is just kind of watching. I know you mentioned that some of it has to be verbalized, but apparently not all. And so some of it is just kind of paying attention to what each other does to pick up on those cues and say, oh, okay, I noticed. And then whatever it is we notice, we just kind of follow through on.
Yeah, and in that, you're sort of, you know, you're watching the person's face. What makes them light up? What activities? What kind of things? Because sometimes we, you know, in a really ideal relationship, you kind of know things about your partner they may not know about themselves. So when I interviewed Jim and Carol Gilligan, he's an expert on men and male violence, and she is an expert on women and girls' development. She wrote the first book, actually, where they actually did a study of adolescent girls. Before that, all the research on adolescents had been done on white male boys. Just none on girls, none on people of color. So you can imagine it wasn't really representative, right?
Right.
So she did those studies. But when I asked them about their 50-plus year relationship, one of the things that they talked about is that, you know, that he knew she could write a novel before she knew she could write a novel.
Wow.
You know, she had written these academic books, but he really encouraged her to go for it and write the novel she was thinking about. And he had that faith in her and knew her in that way, in a way she didn't even know herself. And it really helped her and supported her to be able to do something that had been a lifelong dream of hers. And, you know, when he was going to write his first book and had his doubts about, you know, did he really have anything to add or to say, she really knew that he did, and she encouraged him to write that book. And we now all have, you know, access to a really insightful, important book about violence and about shame and about how much that has to do with being injured as a young person. That contributes to violence. And, you know, that very compassionate look at it instead of, you know, these are bad people, we should lock them all up kind of view, which, you know, we know doesn't work. I don't think there's any of us who can at this point pretend that that's a strategy that works to solve anything. You know, we have more people incarcerated in our country than ever, and, you know, it doesn't lead to better outcomes.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, a woman of great courage, a woman of great integrity. Outstanding psychologist Dr. Firestone will be right back. Stay with us.